Thank you, Evie, and you are listening to Nights of the Meal here on RNZ National. Producer Bonnie has insisted that I read a PSA from a texter that came in a while ago pertaining to laundry. Speaking of soap, the text reads, "You can still get Sard Wonder Soap for your laundry. It seems anachronistic, but it works." Hayden Donnell, who has children and who we will be speaking to soon, also nodding knowingly there about the
They work on the nappies and stuff. I was like, of course you can get. What do you mean? It's a big part of my life.
This year was the year of discovery of Sard Wonder Soap for Bonnie, so you know, she wanted to share that news with the rest of Aotearoa as well. Coming up later this hour, we're going to be talking about Stephen King to Elizabeth Knox at about 10:30. That is before Nelson Harper of Precycle NZ pops along to chat a bit about what that organisation does. But as we have heard, Hayden Donnell is here to talk media. Now, it's not midweek media watch. That happens tomorrow at about 9:30 with Colin Peacock. But there has just been too much media news this week, hasn't there, Hayden?
There's spillover.
So we're having a mini midweek media watch. The newest news about the news is this tranche of job cuts at TVNZ, which reached a milestone today. Confirmation that the program's Fair Go, Midday and Tonight will all be cut from mid-May. There is a suggestion that Fair Go may continue in some form. The context of this, of course, in early March, TVNZ announced it was proposing to disestablish 68 roles across the organisation in the wake of financial difficulties. And yes, that's the background. That's what happened today. Hello, Hayden.
Hello, indeed.
So let's talk about this news. Jodie O'Donnell, CEO of TVNZ, announcing these cuts to staff today. Take us through each program, if you could.
Yeah, as you said, it's Midday and Tonight, those news bulletins, and Fair Go, that will be off the air, fronted by Pippa Wetzel, Garth Bray, but also involved in this program of restructuring, cuts, etc., whatever you want to call it, is Sunday, their current affairs, their flagship current affairs show, of course, on Sunday, and Re News, which is their youth brand. And Re had its meeting with management today as well.
This vague suggestion that Fair Go might continue in some way, do you have any insight into what that proposal might look like or what's happening there?
Not much more than what's been reported today, which is that it's going to be in digital form. It's not TV, it's not Fair Go like you know it. Fair Go brand looks like that will live on, but in a digital form, probably put out by a new team of four people focused on consumer and current affairs. So long-form investigations into consumer affairs done by four people online. So nothing like what it is right now.
Which is big budget, highly produced, large team.
So TV stars.
TV, yeah.
Yeah, doing all that stuff filmed. Maybe there still will be filming and stuff involved, but it won't be the same. But it will be online and it will still survive as a brand.
The other department, you alluded to it there, whose cuts remain to be seen, is Re News. I mean, for people who aren't familiar with Re News, tell us a bit about it, if you could. This is sort of like a youth media focused largely online.
Yeah, it's almost doing what seemed impossible for public media organisations, which is meet young people where they're at on social media and serve them news in a way that isn't patronising and isn't pandering and isn't just an old person being like, hello, fellow kids. It's really actually relevant and it gets engagement. And so almost this is what I find most frustrating about this program of cuts. They'll be saying, oh, well, Re News might not have made them money or it might not have added to their bottom line. But this was doing something that was genuinely unique in the market. RNZ famously doesn't have a youth channel. We've tried. And TVNZ had succeeded in doing it, and it's a public company and it's cutting it. Well, it's a state-owned enterprise. It's slightly different, but it's a state intervention in the market. And what's the point of a state intervention in the market? To serve underserved audiences, or it should be. And this was one that was being served well. And it's also the future. It's serving young audiences. It's getting them loyal to your brand. It's giving them a connection to your brand. So this is the one I find probably the most head-scratching.
Yeah, because that ticks a lot of boxes, particularly for a public media company in terms of how to reach audiences and, you know, online impressions and stuff like that. So, why would it be cut back?
Well, I assume it's because the bottom line wasn't adding up. From what I understand, Ree has put a proposal to management, which has been at least it's been taken on board to create a sustainable path forward for the brand. So what's going to happen with it is that it will, I think the staff has been cut by about half or half, and it will go forward with six staff. The structure of those six staff will be different to what was originally proposed. I don't have too much detail on that, but people inside TVNZ think the new structure that is going forward will be a bit more sustainable. So look, the brand will live on, but if you're going to be cutting anything at a legacy brand, it seems odd that it would be the digital focus thing that was succeeding and was winning over new customers.
It's interesting, and it pertains to a text that has just come through right now. In fact, you are name-checked in this. Emil, this texter writes, many of us haven't watched television for 20 years or more. Mr. Donnell is an old man shouting at clouds. We're just not interested. But that was kind of the point about Ree, right?
Well, that's
not on TV.
It's not on TV. Well, it was on TV for the debates ahead of the general election. It had a youth debate. But it's on Instagram, it's on TikTok, and it gets, like, I was looking at a couple that they did over the weekend. They did one on whether vapes should be prescription only like they are in Australia. Looked at, I think it had sort of 3,000 likes, and it did one about people being freaked out by the bro handshake.
Right.
Yeah. Also got 3,000 something likes. You know, so it has this breadth of stuff and it's getting a lot of engagement. Anyway, I've gone on a bit about Ree, but that's a bit of a bugbear for me. Yeah.
Okay. So there are still question marks about what's happening with Sunday, and we are expecting to find out about that tomorrow. Is that right?
Yes. Apparently the team were off shooting today, committed to their profession, their craft in the face of oblivion. So they actually didn't get a meeting with management today, and they will be meeting with them tomorrow, as I understand it. Not sure what will be happening there. I don't think they have complete clarity on that team either.
Now, this kind of dovetails with another media announcement that we had today, which is that Reality Check Radio has suddenly gone off air. There was a video that was put out by Peter Williams of Reality Check Radio. Here is some audio of that video.
But you will have noticed recently that we're not on air at the moment, because right now we need funding to keep going. We're not a big corporate media company. We don't have access to government funding either. We're listener funded, which means we don't have sponsors telling us what to do or what to say. So hopefully it's just a temporary closure. But the only way we're going to get back on air is by raising funds now. And that's why we're taking this opportunity to appeal to you, our listeners, to donate, contribute, and help us get back on the air.
Right, so that's some news from that, a clip rather from that video. There is a longer video that you can find online if you are so minded. What is your reaction to this? Was this expected?
I didn't expect it. I actually thought the Reality Check Radio had some more deep-pocketed benefactors. But Rodney Hyde was saying in that video today that it's funded by 4,500 listeners. And he thought that was only 1% of the listenership, which would put the listenership at something like 450,000. I would say I'm a little bit skeptical of that figure. I've got to say, Emil, I'm not sure that is quite accurate. But yeah, Reality Check Radio off air after not so long, really. It hasn't. How long has it been?
I think it's been about a year. Lyric, Why Woody Smith from Stuff, just wrote a piece about this just over a year since Aucklanders first discovered letters in their mailboxes promoting Reality Check Radio. RIP Woke Media, it said the webcast has gone off air.
It's unexpected. Tear-jerking piano score under that video, yeah. By the way. That was quite heart-rending stuff. It is unexpected because they're so prevalent in like the advertising sphere. You see billboards around, there's flyers around, there's all this sort of stuff. It seems like a lot of the budget's been going towards advertising, but obviously the station isn't able to sustain itself.
Zooming out from this, you know, people have strong opinions about Reality Check Radio and, well, many media platforms. But one thing that you and I have discussed quite a bit this year is the idea of, listener-supported niche micro platforms perhaps being a more sustainable model for media outlets into the future. This was an example of that. It's gone belly up. I suppose the show, well, it might be going belly up. I suppose this shows how quickly the dime, you know, things can turn.
Yeah, well, especially when they've got a lot of staff.
Quite a lot of, yeah.
They have overheads in terms of broadcasting that a Substack blog might not have.
I can't imagine Peter Williams came cheap.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's probably not the exact model of what you'd think a lean listener or audience supported brand might be in the digital age. So that could be a reason why they are struggling a little bit. The overheads are decent. They've got a lot of talent that they've paid. Mm. But yeah, you're right. It is a brand that's been trying to get listener support and has obviously failed. There's no panacea here in the media sector. Mm. It's tough times.
Someone has just sent a text through. This is from D in Tauranga. Fairgo and Sunday are so cheesy, the text reads. Put these investigations on a platform. They don't need presenters. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, even people in TV will tell you that they are trying to do digital transformations. I don't think that Sunday was cheesy, to be honest. Maybe it feels hackneyed because that's not how people consume video anymore. Mm. It's quite weird to have like a presenter up there doing the big sort of highfalutin thing, and actually a lot of video is consumed in this very casual way. Maybe that is cheesy to people, but that doesn't mean they couldn't transform, and that doesn't mean there's not fundamental value in the product itself. Mm. I think about Kristen Hall's investigation of the Rotorua Golden Mile, for instance. That just always comes to mind when I think about Sunday's value. And that kind of investigation, her investigation into the Gore District Council, that sort of stuff, that long, involved, expensive stuff is not really being done elsewhere. And I go back to this idea, like, what is the point of a government intervention into a market? And that is, ostensibly, I'd think, to provide stuff that the market isn't providing already. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of Radio NZ's, RNZ's charter, to provide stuff that the market isn't providing already. TVNZ provided some of that stuff. Sunday was one of those things that it provided that isn't being provided elsewhere, and it's the first thing on the chopping block. So that's a strange thing about the TVNZ state-owned enterprise model, you'd have to say. And people might be reflecting on that, thinking, is this what we want if we are intervening as the government into a market?
And there is still plenty to discuss on Midweek Media Watch tomorrow. Of course, the Trusted Media report that came out, I think, yesterday. The future of some of these cuts, or potential cuts at TVNZ. And maybe some clarity on the future of News Hub. What might we discover tomorrow, Hayden?
Yeah, well, Shane Curry, the media insider at The Herald, he wrote a column this morning speculating that, or was saying that, News Hub would be saved in some pared back form. And he talked about the 6 p.m. bulletin being kept on air, just probably partly because it's still a valuable property to provide an audience lead into the other shows on their schedule, for instance. He named Stuff as a leading contender to take on the 6 p.m. bulletin. Stuff was cagey in his report about whether it was doing that. I mean, there's other companies that I'd add to that list as just ones to look out for, see if they're interested as well. And one of those companies, look, the one that Shane Curry works for, NZ Me, could they be interested in taking on the 6 p.m. bulletin? Look, there's probably some interest there.
There's probably money to be made in there.
There's probably money to be made. And also, if you're NZ Me, there's, well, then you're a TV, a radio, and a digital and a print organization. So you're kind of covering all your bases there. So that must be attractive in some ways.
Well, we'll have a chat to Colin about it tomorrow on Midweek Media Watch. Hayden Tennell, thank you very much for coming in this evening.
Thank you.
That was Hayden Donnell, who is one half of Midweek Media Watch. And as I mentioned, Colin will be back tomorrow here on Nights at 9:30.